B-Pod Studios.
And that's where we will begin today with some Bruins talk. Welcome to Felger and Maz on a Thursday, July 22nd. Felger in the remote A-hole chair location. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. So Lozon was taken as expected, as previously reported last night. We've got news and notes from Don Sweeney this afternoon. Let's just start to pick our way through it. There's nothing official on Taylor Hall as of yet. What's your lead Bruins thought right now, Miss?
So, look, I think the Hall thing is imminent. I think it's going to happen any second. And I base that both on the reports that are out there and, frankly, you know, Don Sweeney met with the media earlier today and said we made significant progress. When do you ever hear a GM talking about a contract negotiation before the player has been formally announced as signed, saying we've made significant progress?
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, it never happens like that. Never. You just say they never admit anything. Well, we'll see how it goes. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they all act like it's not done until they carry the ball across the goal line, which technically is right. But I think it's literally, I mean, I know we discussed it in the email exchange. I think there's a good chance it's going to happen before we go off the air today. They're going to announce it.
Yeah, I thought it'd be right at one. You know, the signing moratorium ends at one. I thought it would. I thought it might be over before we go on the air. So I think that's easily the best news that we've heard in the last 24, 48 hours as it relates to the Bruins. And again, it's a break. It's good fortune for the Bruins that Taylor Hall wants to be here, is willing to take less to be here. And if you want to give Sweeney and the organization credit for it, I guess you can. I mean, I don't know. Give them credit for being a desirable place. And I'm saying it with a question mark, right? I think it's more just good fortune that for some reason, Taylor Hall wants to be here. And so you got him for a good price. You're retaining him for a good price, it sounds like. And that is excellent fortune. It's excellent for the team. That is a premium talent at a reduced price. And he's still in his prime. And you don't have much coming up through the system. And some of your established guys here, some of them are definitely aging out or coming to the end of their prime. And so, I mean, I consider it a real gift, Maz, that this guy wants to be here. And all that said, acknowledging he's still a risk because he's flamed out everywhere he's been. And that could easily happen here. But given the acquisition costs, it's something you have to do. So, rarely? We'll start with good news. There's your good news. Let's get to the bad. How'd you feel about them losing Lozon last night?
Well, so I knew it was coming, and I'm still not happy about it. I just think that there is a premium right now for them anyway on big left shot defensemen. And they had one who's young, who's a relatively high draft pick. And I'm not telling you he was great last year because he wasn't. But I like the potential. I think of all the players that they had exposed, you know, really Lozon to me had the most upside. And so Seattle identified that. They're taking a chance on him. He may turn out to be nothing more than an average defenseman. We'll see. But honestly, given their shortage of young players, particularly, again, on the left side of the D, who have any type of size whatsoever, I think it's a significant loss. I mean, they're going to have to replace it with some sort of veteran, whether it's Ryan Suter or whoever else. Maybe they have to extend themselves a little bit. But I don't, you know, I'm not one of these people that looks at it and says, they didn't get anything. I don't feel that way at all.
Yeah, and this is the narrative that started to, like, really go up my tailpipe. Like, this whole guy's like, whew, oh boy, batting down the hatches, big loss for the Bruins. He's the best of the suck that they put out there to Seattle. I know defense is a weakness on this team. I know they could use another left-shot defenseman. But I frankly think too much is being made out of this. Like, I get it's a dead time of year, kind of. He kind of sucks, guys. Like, I get the age upside, but I feel like there's too much, like, woe is me. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? We've lost Jeremy Lozon. Ah! Oh, no. Did you see him in the playoffs? I mean, you can maybe say he was one of the top three reasons they lost that series to the Islanders. He blows.
So, I mean, he blew in that series. I don't know if he blows as a pro. I think it's just, frankly, all due respect, Murray, short-sighted. That's just kind of silly to judge a 24-year-old defenseman off of his first playoff go. Like, that's just, if he did that, I'm sure you'd pass on a lot of really good defensemen across the league. He may suck. I just wouldn't base it on that series. I wouldn't base it on how he finished here as was he 23 or 24 when he was playing in the playoffs? I don't know when his birthday was, but he's that age. It was his first go around. So it's like, No. So, like, I do agree with the sentiment, Murray, that, you know, we got to be careful not to. This ain't Larry Robinson they lost, right? We're not losing Chris Pronger here. Like that I get. But, yeah, if you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly. You know, he was the last guy that I wanted to lose, and they ended up losing him. And so, you know, I do want to firm up the second guess, though, Maz. I do want to firm up. We're not going to do it here, but we'll give you an example of what the exposed list would have looked like if you had exposed Jeremy Lozon. You know, I mean, if you had protected Jeremy Lozon.
Right.
If you had protected Jeremy Lozon, what would that exposed list have looked like? And who would you have ended up losing, most likely, instead of Jeremy Lozon? We really should bear that down or bore that down if we're going to second-guess Don Sweeney, you know? Because I want to. Believe me. I want to. He's, you know, that draft was such a freaking PF. Pig fudge. You know, it was so, it was such a killer.
They should allow us to swear when it comes to that 2015 draft.
Pig roast. Exactly. Go with pig roast.
Okay. It was such a pig circus, pig roast, that he was the one guy that you looked at and said, oh, they may have saved face. He was the second round pick that year when they made those three first round picks and passed on Barzal and all the others. But they picked up Lozon in the second. So you say, okay, at least they have Lozon. And now it's like he's gone too. So I want a second guess, Sweeney, for the whole kit and caboodle. We'll give you a sample of what the exposed list would have looked like had they gone with the other formula and protected the eight skaters, et cetera, et cetera. We'll do it coming up. But if you have a second guess for Don Sweeney, by all means, 617-779-0985. Are the phones working?
Yes, they are, apparently. So I've been told. I'm not taking blame for it if they don't.
Okay.
And so, quickly, I have an update on Taylor Hall here.
Please, yeah.
So reading from Darren Drager, the real one, with the blue check mark. Bruins and Taylor Hall are working on the final details of his agreement, including no trade coverage. When finalized and signed, Hall stays in Boston for 4 years at $6 million per season.
Okay. That's kind of predictable. It's a good deal. I think it's a good deal for both sides. As soon as it officially breaks, we'll break in and let you know. But that feels like that's done. Again, that's the good news. So now we're back to... Let's get back to Felger, Maz, and get back to the bad news. Losing Lozon, what was this thing Sweeney said today, that Rask hasn't even had surgery yet?
Correct.
Okay.
He's going to undergo surgery later this month.
Murray, your thoughts?
I'm with Adam Jones on this. I don't know if you happen to hear him on Zolak and Bertrand today. His last game was June 9th, guys. Typically in professional sports, when a guy needs surgery so that he's going to be available to his team and he cares about his craft, he'll get said surgery when the season ends almost immediately. You see it throughout professional sports. It's been more than a month. Had to get more golf in, did you? Got a vacation you had to take? What was it? I find this incredibly annoying.
So, look, I'm with Murray. I would like to know more details on this. Like, every once in a while, you'll hear a situation where they say, well, he had a lot of swelling in the area. We had to wait for it to go down. Blah, 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 blah. That was a while ago now. And he's going to be out until, you know, the second half of the season, basically, regardless. Yeah, you know, so you look at that and say, well, why couldn't you have had it already? What's the delay? What's the hang up? I would like to know why.
P, don't you know? You do know, Maz. You do know. He doesn't give a crap. He doesn't give a crap. He doesn't really. He doesn't. He does not put in work in the offseason. It's why he starts out slow, has to be subbed out and has to be platooned during the year. He finally gets his act together somewhere near the end of the playoffs, and then he still peters out. He doesn't give a crap. He doesn't put in the work. You know in your heart. You know in your heart.
Okay, so look, again, I come off as a Rask defense. I'm not as vehement about it as you guys, but I've also said from the very beginning that if you're the Bruins and you are looking to augment your roster, the best way to do it is to let Rask go. And go with the kids because they're a lot cheap. Like, I look at it purely as a financial decision. But the idea that you wouldn't have surgery right away to get back on the ice as quickly as possible, to me, is, like, mind-blowing.
Now, for someone like me, it's ultimately good because it means less Rask at the beginning of next season. But considering he is going to be back and you're going to continue to shove him down my throat, I mean, it would be nice if the guy actually cared about his craft and would have got that surgery so he could be back quicker, I would think. But apparently not. Okay. Just so, like, get him out of my face.
Please, get him out of... Can you quit him? I can't quit you! It's like, this Bruins team and this player, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. It is just... Oh, my God. Please. Did you guys watch the expansion draft last night?
Nope.
Not really, no, because I'd pretty much known it throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, I missed it. And you know what? It feels like a good miss on my part when I go back and look at some of the clips. Like,
I did see some of the clips. Not great.
Well, it depends what you're in it for. I am not in it for the grabassery. I'm not in it for, like, the, look at who we're going to have announce the pick. Like, the Marshawn Lynch. Okay, here's Marshawn Lynch introducing one of their picks, and he's with Ward, the guy who used to be on the NHL Network. He does it for ESPN now. And, I just heard this. I'm like, okay, this was a good miss by me. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Marshawn, take it away.
Actually, so with the this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow.
Okay, just stop a second. Like, I mean, do I need anything more than that to know that this is really not for me? I mean, you know what I mean?
And I actually like the fun parts of sports, the things you typically hate, but even I was like, this is just so stupid. Like, what are we doing here?
No, I'm in it for the news. I want the news. I want to know who the body is. Tell me the information. That's what I'm in it. I'm in it for the information. As soon as all the picks were up, they destroyed the show.
And not for nothing. Like, I like Marshawn Lynch, but when was the last time he was relevant in Seattle? 7 years ago? Okay. Come on.
I don't care who that was. I don't need, like, and we cut out the whole, minute on them grab asking about how did the Kraken get to beast mode? You know, oh, my God, I don't care. You know, who's the pick and why? And can I just get this is me. I know some of you are all different. But I just want, as you said, Maz, I want the news and then I want some good analysis. I don't need beast mode. I just pick it up, Jimmy. Just play the end of it, too.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
You heard it from him.
Straight up.
Straight up. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm good.
Big dog.
The only thing I heard that was promising was the open. And again, we cut it about halfway through, but they do the movie voiceover guy in the from the depths of the sea, it's the Kraken, and then they introduce Gary Bettman. This is it's a running gag. I really do enjoy how badly Bettman gets booed, and I still don't know exactly what he's done, especially to the people of Seattle. He just gave him a team. He hadn't done anything to Seattle yet. And listen to the reaction that Bettman gets. Give me the open to this, Jim.
Over 100 years ago, the Seattle Metropolitans became the first American team to be awarded the Stanley Cup. And some of the last faces to represent hockey in this city. That is, until today.
Now, please welcome the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman.
The booing is okay. It just means you're hockey ready.
This poor prick. Yeah, it's like, what a punching bag this guy is. But good for Seattle. They've already gotten with the program on that. But the production last night, I'm good with. I'm good. You can do beast mode on your own time. But hockey talk and your thoughts at 617-779-0985 you right after this.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
What did the price thing ultimately come down to?
I think ultimately it came down to that Seattle didn't feel they had a great picture of what his health is or potentially could be. There's a lot of frustration between Seattle and Montreal. I know Seattle complained about it. They felt Montreal avoided the true spirit of the expansion draft. They felt that they didn't really get a clear picture of what Price is potentially facing. And I don't know if they would have taken him. I think it was quite simply, it's pretty obvious by what they did that they wanted financial flexibility.
Quick thought on the expansion draft in general. And it's sort of highlighted by the Carey Price situation, Murray. So that's Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. He says Montreal wasn't up front with the medicals, and that sort of turned Seattle off. But then he said he doesn't know if he would have taken him anyway. And I think it's obvious with the way they drafted that they wouldn't have taken him anyway.
Right.
Yeah, and this is what I don't get. Like, all the players that they basically took, save for like two or three, basically suck and don't cost a lot. It's the reverse of what the Vegas Golden Knights did when they first were into the league and had their expansion draft a handful of years ago. So, and I put in the email this morning, like, I'm legit asking, like, I want to know what's going on here. Why is the one team that actually has money to spend hesitant to spend money? And I've read a few things where, you know, some that cover the league are speculating that they're actually hoping to get the first overall pick next year for this kid who's apparently the next Connor McDavid. But I don't know. I think you'd want to compete from day one, or at least put out a decent enough product, because you do have a new fan base to build up, right?
I'm sorry, Mike. I think it's stupid. I think they're dumb. You know, this is one of those things where you're starting a new thing. You got to come in. You got to come out strong. If you suck, and let's, you know, I think you're liable to lose fans more quickly than you'll add them. You know, so I would have come out strong with a franchise guy front and center. Here's where we are. We're going to matter. You're going to notice us. We're going to be good. I'd have done it that way. They didn't. I think it was a mistake.
Me too. It's bad for everybody. It's going to be bad for them. You know, Vegas, even though Vegas is like the new San Jose Sharks, like they become the these postseason chokers, they came out guns blazing, have established themselves in the market, and they can have some ups and downs. They've already hooked their fans in. They got everybody hooked. Like, that's a good NHL market. That's a good team. That's a good take. When they're playing your team, you want to go see them. Like, that's viable. It's good for them. It's good for the league.
I mean, that building has been buzzing since day one.
You don't want these expansion teams that, you know, like in our childhood, Maz, the expansion teams always sucked,
yep.
Right? It took forever. It took forever for them to become relevant. And it was always a soft spot on the schedule. And it feels like Seattle is embracing that second thing I just said. Like, you know, I thought Chris Johnson said it well on Sportsnet. He said the Kraken looked at Carey Price, Vladimir Tarasenko, James Van Riemsdyk, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchesne, and others during the expansion draft process and said, thanks, I'm good. In doing so, the NHL's newest franchise put itself in pole position to race towards a new era of roster construction. The easy takeaway from Friday's made-for-TV event was that Wednesday's made-for-TV event was that Ron Francis left talent on the table. But the most significant thing he did was avoid putting a bad contract on the books. So it's like they're already worried about their books? It's like you should be worried about hooking in your fans and not sucking for 5 years. So, like, I think it's bad for them. I think it's bad for the league. I hated their approach.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. And look, it also made me take their criticisms of the Canadians less seriously. Like, they're going to sit there and say, well, you know, they're not giving us honest information. You weren't going to take them anyway.
Right.
Now, by the way, I believe their criticisms of the Canadians because I can see the Canadians totally doing that. Like, we're not really, because the Canadians are arrogant D-bags who, you know, said we're going to manipulate the system, which is, to me, another reason why Seattle should have taken Price. They should have done it.
Phones. Eddie in Maine, lead us off. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, guys. First off, the Bruins did grab Carlo in the second round of that 2015 draft, so there's at least one saving grace there. But about Krejci, there have been multiple articles in the Czech Republic the last week linking him to one team, HC Olomouc, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And they're all fawning over Krejci like he's the second coming of Yager over there. It seems like there's a really great chance that he could be going back next season, and I think that would be a huge loss.
Okay, I agree, and we'll play the cut coming up. I thought Sweeney, in talking about Krejci, I read into it that he is far from a lock of returning. How do you feel about that if they've moved on from Krejci or Krejci's moved on from them?
I don't like it. I mean, and again, I'm operating under the assumption that they were going to bring him back on a one-year deal that was a little cheaper, and they were going to, you know, this is part of the deal or part of the idea of bringing back Hall, that you keep that tandem together. So assuming the deal was going to be less than what he was making, I wanted him back. I also wonder if maybe there's a little leverage game going on there. I found Sweeney talked about him a couple of times in that presser, Mike, and the second time sounded more optimistic than the first. So I looked at it as like, you know, there's been, yeah, I think he said something to the effect of, and you know, I know we have the sound, but something to the effect of, you know, there's been no indication to us that anything has changed. So that led me to believe that the Bruins thought, okay, we're in pretty good standing here. This is going to work. I'll be surprised if he goes. I will.
Yeah, me too, because I thought, I was convinced that part of Hall coming back, you know, was weighing on whether or not Krejci was going to come back, maybe on like a one-year deal on relative short money, because well, you've got to bring that, you've got to keep that line together, like Maz said.
My guess is they're not close on money. Maybe there's posturing going on. But I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if they moved on from him. I'll explain further. I want phones here. Jake in the suburbs. Go, Jake.
Yeah, I think the expansion draft was a total joke, and I think it shows that Don Sweeney was behind the eight ball. Everyone else exposed players who had terms. So if you, in retrospect, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but they wouldn't have taken Craig Smith. There's zero chance based on how it played out. And there were no trades ahead of time across the NHL like there were with Vegas, where teams were, you know, giving draft picks to the Kraken and not take players. And final thought, you know, Tampa, with Alex Killorn as a free agent, I think that's a player the Bruins need. He's a winning player. He's a tough player, and he has some skill.
Okay. The thing about if they had exposed Craig Smith, they wouldn't have taken him. That sounds right to me based on how they drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have left him exposed, and they would have left him right there. And maybe they would have taken Zboril or one of your other young defensemen who were cheap, because it feels like that's what Seattle was into. They were into that cheap thing. Dave in Plymouth, go ahead.
Yeah, guys, I think because Jay Leach, you know, is the assistant coach to Hackstall over there, is the reason they took Lauzon. But I'm with Murray on this. They got to come out guns blazing. Look at the conference they're in. They're going to be compared against Vegas. So if they wind up only winning 10 or 12 games this year and they don't make the playoffs and they finish dead last, people are going to say, well, great expansion strategy you got here. You know, you went for a bunch of nobodies. And now what, you know? And by, I mean, look, the first half of the season is football in Seattle. They're football crazy there. And so they're going to, they really should have gone, and maybe they're going to go for Landeskog. Landeskog is out there, I think. He's a free agent, correct?
Well, okay, well, this is a fair point. There's still trades in free agency. But they certainly didn't take the draft approach that Vegas did. And that's bad for all of us. Like, you had some, you know, two, you know, soft spots on the schedule that didn't have to be there. Real quick, Paul in Rhode Island, explain why Bettman gets booed everywhere, even Seattle, where he probably hasn't been in like 20 years.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Valga. Hi, Maz. Hi, Murray. Listen, why is Goodell get booed? Why does Goodman get booed?
Paul, I didn't know this was this, Paul. I knew you would give me no coherent sort of answer, but thank you for the call. We love you. I really mean it, but useless.
I'll give you the answer. Yeah, he's an authority figure, right, and people are predisposed to hate authority. That's why they boo him.
But, you know, Adam Silver didn't get booed when he took the mic the other night, and Goodell doesn't – even Goodell didn't get booed like that.
No. Goodell gets booed.
Not like that. Wait, some of the lustiest boos we've ever heard. Would Goodell get booed if he awarded a franchise? And not that, you know, it's him, but you know what I mean. Representing the league, handing a starving city a football franchise, when he showed up there for the first day of official business and expansion draft, would he get booed off the stage?
Yeah, I don't know. People do hate Roger Goodell.
And not like Gary Bettman. But either way, it's good. It's good sound every time we do it. You have a thought, Maz?
I just think he looks like a little weasel. There's something about his appearance that makes you, like, he's kind of like squiggy. You know, like, you look at him, what's this little weasel's approach? What's he trying to pull? Am I wrong? Right. There is something about him that you look at him, you smarmy little twerp.
There are little Bruins developments, some not so little, from today. You'll hear the latest in Big Jim Murray's update. When we come back, Maz has a Red Sox minute for you based off of last night's action against the Blue Jays. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
We really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nobody aboard, two down in the ninth. Ground ball. There's Devers, fires, and that's a win for the Red Sox tonight. They sweep the series, as it turns out. They win 7-4, 250th win in Alex Cora's career with the Boston Red Sox. Very sweet one tonight, Ek.
Yeah, it was impressive. It really was. I'll tell you what, Seb, Richard set the tone because he threw the ball well for 5 2/3 innings.
The final call last night, courtesy of Nesson. Red Sox win again against the Toronto Blue Jays. Garrett Richards gives them what they need. Maz, your thoughts?
Okay, so let me start with the big picture, okay? And that is that this is consistent with who the Red Sox have been. And when I say that, they had a bad series in New York, one of their worst of the year. They get to Toronto. They get 8 runs in the first inning of the first game. They get ahead again last night. They win both games in Toronto, and it feels like they're back now. Right, it feels like they're back being who they are, and this has been their number one quality all year long. They're resilient. They keep playing. They don't get bogged down in the negative when it goes bad on the few occasions it has, and they bounce back. So I give them credit for that. As for Richards, dare I say last night that I thought he was pretty good? Now, at the end, it fell apart, but the fact that he got into the sixth inning having allowed one run was a borderline miracle. And more importantly, there was some bite and movement on his pitches. Like, you know, so one of two things is happening. Either they have some sort of undetectable adhesive that he's using on the mound that is like, you know, stealth adhesive that doesn't show up on radar. Or could it possibly be that he stopped whining and he's actually learned how to pitch or trying to? And if you listen to a lot of the post game, which again, and I, you know, I'll get to this in a minute too, like, and even Eck there in the highlight, you know, Garrett Richards was, I feel like there's this little campaign to build up Garrett Richards' confidence, whether it's the pitching coach, Dave Bush, whether it's Cora, because Cora said, oh, he was terrific tonight. Okay. He went 5 2/3 and he gave up 4 runs. So let's not say that all of a sudden he was Tom Seaver out there. Like, I'm not going that far, but it was better. It was totally better with Richards. And so from that standpoint, good. I'm glad he stopped pouting and actually he's coming to the realization that he might be a better pitcher as a result of it all.
I think this means that sound means that Mike might have dropped off.
But okay,
in the event of that, yeah, I'm with you. And that he looked good innings 1-5, probably having him go, you know, into the sixth inning was probably pushing it a bit. But yeah, I think that's what it is, Maz. It's the latter thing that he's finally decided, well, I may as well actually learn how to pitch. And he's, now that he has, he actually looks pretty decent.
Okay, now let me give you what my developing sort of my latest agitation is with the Red Sox. And this relates to one player in particular and one player only. And I admit it goes back to last year and there's a little bit of a personal axe to grind for me. Bobby Dalbec blows. He freaking blows. He
back
sucks.
Just in time.
Okay, seriously, welcome back. He sucks.
No, perfect.
This kid. Every time I watch him, and the strikeouts, and I'm not even talking about that. I said this last year that Bobby Dalbec is the embodiment of the modern game, and Red Sox fans all got their panties in a little ball over it. And so, because I was somehow I'm making a commentary on the game, and they took it as a slight of Dalbec, which in effect it was. But this year, he's worse. He is horrible. Aside from the fact that he's hitting .217, he has 101 strikeouts and 55 hits. Okay, so he's twice as more likely to strike out than he is to get a hit. That's number one. But beyond that, his defense smells. It is awful. There was a play last night where Rafael Devers went to his left. It was kind of a tricky play. And Devers short hopped the throw, as he often does. And ultimately, that goes down as an error third base, which it was. Dalbec didn't come close to picking it. Not close. And you know what occurred to me watching it? He never comes close to picking it. Ever. He doesn't pick anything over there. Last week, there was a throw that hit him off the heel of the glove, and he just missed. Not dropped. Missed. He somehow missed a throw. He sucks. He does. He sucks. They can't get rid of this guy fast enough.
How old is he?
26.
Is that... Are you... jumping the gun?
No. See you later. Bye-bye.
One
Bye-bye.
Of 17 players with 100-plus strikeouts so
yeah,
far
so,
this season.
Yeah, so, like, people have said to me at the trade deadline, yeah, they got to get Rizzo. How do you get Rizzo? And fine. I want a lefty bat at first base, too. I've come to the conclusion, I want a full-time first baseman. This hack can't play. He can't play. He's off. He's terrible. Get rid of him. Get him out of here. And I've said over and over again that they're not going to trade anyone off the roster because when you're adding, typically you don't do that. Wrong again. Get rid of him. Get him off the roster. He smells. He is terrible.
Officially.
Well, he blows. I can't tell you how bad he is.
Okay. You know, we've done this before, Maz. We've buried people before, whether it be Brad Marchand. I mean, there's a lot of cases. I thought Rob Gronkowski couldn't do it. We buried Sonny Michel. Maybe ultimately you were right on that one. You know, I don't know. Are you sure this isn't another one in a long list of ones we've just jumped the gun on?
You're not going to regret letting this kid go. You're not going to regret it. Nope. Ain't going to happen. And so again, the defense blows me away more than anything. He never picks it out of the dirt. Never. Like, never. I don't think I've seen one all year. I'm sure there is. I just don't remember it. But I'm telling you, it's astonishing the number of throws over there that he cannot pick out of the dirt. It blows me away. He's, like, borderline useless.
All right, let's mix in your Red Sox thoughts with our hockey talk. Jared in the car. Go ahead, Jared. Is that on me, or is that on you, or is that the French?
Jared. I think the French.
Yeah, I think it's the French.
Jared, are you there? Okay, he is. I'm going to put you on hold because you shouldn't be punished because the French can't figure anything out.
I think Bobby Dalbec wrote the software.
His comment line said pitching rotation. What do you want their pitch? If they go into the playoffs, if and when they go into the playoffs, what should be their pitching rotation?
Well, let's assume Sale is in there. Can I do that?
Well, you do it. I mean, it's a blank canvas for you, man.
Yeah, Sale, Eovaldi, probably Pivetta. Who am I leaving out?
Rodriguez.
Yeah, I would want Rodriguez in there, too, if he's pitching right. When he's right, he's good.
He hasn't been right much of this season, though.
And that would be it. Pivetta scares me a little bit. I'd lean toward him being my fourth guy. Perez is too trick-or-treat, so I don't want him being part of it. And, you know, he's a four-inning guy, potentially, so I don't want that.
If sorry to cut you off, Mike, but if Hauk is good tonight and shows here in the next few weeks, what about him? Who could be out if he actually looks like he should stay in the rotation?
So I don't love Hauk Murray. He's okay. I mean, I'm not anti-Hauk per se, but I think that he would be better used as a guy you could drop in the middle of the game for two or three innings when you're going through a right-handed part of the batting order. So his slider is devastating. He's really tough on right-handed batters. So I think if you were to add him with Whitlock in the bullpen, like you build those sorts of guys, you get a bunch of guys and go two or three innings, depending on where you are. I like that better, but I don't want him starting.
If the Sox only trade for one of these two things, a starter, you know, mid-rotation starter, or a first baseman, what would you do?
Right now I'm leaning first base. Believe it or not, I'm leaning first base. Because if they stay healthy out there on the pitching staff, I don't know that they're going to get much better than what they have. And so, again, if you were to go Eovaldi, Sale, Pivetta, Eduardo Rodriguez, that gives you the option to put Hauk in the bullpen, Whitlock in the bullpen. Now you get a couple of innings guys out there. And so, you know, if you get a starter that only goes four or five, you can drop one of those guys in and get another two or three out of them, and then you get to Ottavino and Barnes. So I would lean that way, believe it or not.
Okay, Sox, hockey talk. Your calls on both in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mez, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting that?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jerry, why do you think your slider worked so well tonight?
You know, I'm starting to figure out hand position and I'm figuring out some things mechanically right now that are really moving in the right direction. You know, I've been throwing a lot of strikes lately. Walks have gone down. I wouldn't say that like I'm pitching to contact more, but I'm trying to be in the zone more. But also with that comes, you know, a couple mistakes that I got burned on tonight. But those things happen. You know, I'm proud of the way that I went out and competed. Baskey called a great game. The guys played great defense behind me. Can't say enough about this team. They gave me a lead at the very beginning. I gave up a little bit, and then, you know, they put the icing on it at the end.
All right, so that's Garrett Richards last night. What's your take on his postseason? Post-game commentary. Is there movement there too, Maz?
Oh, I think that what this guy's basically been undergoing in the last month is psychotherapy. That's what I think it is. I think they've sat down with him because listen to him there. I'm proud of how I competed. Like, these guys are great. You know, like, we have a chance to win. It's like they sat him down and said, Garrett, focus on the positive things, my friend. Focus on the part that it's like a shrink session with this guy. It's been going on for a month. He's had intensive treatment. He's actually starting to think that he can pitch in the big leagues again. It's good. They've rebuilt him. So I'm telling you, I sense that there's this campaign to like fortify Garrett Richards because he's so deeply unsure of himself, particularly in the wake of this, sticky substance thing. That there's like this, we've got to convince this guy that he can get people out. And I think he's starting to believe it again.
Yeah, give the Red Sox credit, you know, and we'll see how it plays out, right? This is far from a, you know, finished story, but I kind of thought Garrett Richards was a lost cause, and they're working through it. So let's see where it ends up. I think the Red Sox deserve credit for not giving up on him like we want to. Let's try the phones again. What do we think? What do we think, Francois? We're going to get this through here. Jared in the car. Are you there, Jared?
All right, what's up? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, I got a question for Maz about Tanner Houck. I was just wondering if you think he pitches well enough, if they will keep him in the rotation, because with the off days coming up in a couple of weeks, I don't think they're going to stick with the six-man rotation. I just wanted your opinion on that and to see if he can bump Richards to the bullpen. Thank you.
Go ahead. Thank you.
So I think in the short term here, they are going to go at six. They said they were going to do this, and again, I think this was part of the plan. Because they know all of these guys break down. So what they're going to do is try to lower the workload here by 15-20% and get a little more out of every guy, keep them fresher down the stretch, and also, you know, see if Houck can make a contribution and be a guy that they can use in some sort of role in the postseason. So, you know, does he have a chance to bump Richards? Sure. Yes. I mean, the beauty of having a sixth guy like that is it gives you options. So that if Houck pitches well and Richards doesn't, well, there you go. And maybe, Mike, you're talking about how they've resurrected Richards. Maybe they've also goosed him a little. Like, hey, we got this kid here. You know, he's going to jump in and pitch if you can't. So you got to figure it out.
Hey, whatever they're doing, if they can get to this guy, who I think is kind of a bum, Garrett Richards I'm talking about, and soft, credit to them. Credit to them, you know. Because I think he's a project. Joe in Rhode Island on the Bruins. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, you know, the way that Maz feels about Dolbeck, that's the way I feel about Matt Grizzlick from the Bruins. I think the little that he brings offensively could never make up for his defensive deficiencies. And as long as he's on the first pairing, the Bruins are going nowhere. Package him into Brusque and get him out of town.
Let me ask you this on the expose list. Joe, thanks for the call. Would you rather have lost Grizzlick or Lozon?
Lozon.
So yeah, it's close. I think I asked this yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's close. It's close to me because I think Grizzlick's kind of at his ceiling. Mm-hmm. He's a young player too, but he is an off-brand Torey Krug.
Yeah.
Who had his problems too, right? And I don't know if Torey Krug is at the end of the day a 25-minute-a-night Stanley Cup champion, you know, and for all the good things you can say about Krug, there's just, I think you're seeing it across the league. There's just not many of those guys that push all the way through. You got to have some size. So that would be a close call to me. But then again, I'm not sure what Grizzlick's contract is. Seattle was taking on no money. So if you exposed Grizzlick and he had money, they might still pass on Grizzlick and take Zboril. Or take Clifton because they have no money. There's no money attached. They're younger and they have no money. It felt like that's how Seattle was going, you know, in this thing. So I really hated losing Lozon. Mike in North Attleboro. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey guys. So Maz, you touched on this last night during the show, the baseball show. But who would be a good fit at first? And if the Yankees are going to be sellers this year, why not have Bloom take a good look at Voit? I mean, he might be able to buy low. He's injured. he's got a decent bat, and he always plays with a chip on his shoulder, which would fit well with.
Okay, thanks for the call. I'm sorry, Mike. That's my fault. Thanks for the call. I just want to cut you off. Is there any way on anyone's planet the Yankees would make a deadline deal with you?
I highly doubt it. No, I highly doubt it. And look, you know, that's one of the reasons for sure. That's the first thing that popped into my head is they're not going to give you Luke Voit. And even if they were going to give you Luke Voit, look, I would take him. I don't want to say that I wouldn't. I ideally, I want a lefty bat. I mean, if I'm going to get picky at this deadline and I'm going to go get a first baseman, I want one who hits left-handed. Because they could use another lefty bat in that lineup. And on the odd chance that the guy comes with some sort of warts or flaws, and he likely will because I don't think they're going to go get a superstar, it probably means he can't hit lefties, which is you're looking at some sort of platoon over there with somebody, whether it's Dahlbeck or anybody else. So, but I would prefer a lefty bat at first base.
Cam and Taunton on the expansion draft last night. Hi, Cam.
Guys, it took 2 weeks for me to look at ESPN and say no chance. No chance. First of all, last night, they don't even bring out their A-team. They don't even bring out Levy, Melrose, or McDonough. No, it's Chris Fowler, who I'm pretty sure that was a one-off, because he's not even on their list of analysts, and Dominique Moore. Then they pronounce two teams by the wrong name. They call the Florida Panthers the Carolina Panthers, and they call Anaheim Ducks the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. This is after, at the ESPYs 2 weeks ago, they give their best NHL award to Patrick Kane. Not McDavid, not Kucherov, not Austin Matthews. They give it to Patrick Kane. 2 weeks in, I'm like, this is hopeless. ESPN is hopeless. They don't give a rat's ass.
Okay, I think that's – I didn't see it, so I can't judge the whole thing. But, you know, we played you some clips. I even think they pronounced Lozon's name, unless I've been mispronouncing it. But, Jimmy, can you play the announcement of the Lozon pick, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's begin to fill in the draft board back here. Could have announced these picks, by the way, by division, beginning with the Atlantic in alphabetical order. So first up will be the Boston Bruins.
So from the Boston Bruins, the Seattle Kraken select Jeremy Lozon.
Oh, geez. That's not it. So, I mean, like, who am I? I mispronounce every name known to man. But then again, you know, no one's paying me $450 million or billions of dollars over 10 years to be the rights holder. Like, that's the one thing you do have to do.
It's very unpolished thus far. I'm not going to go as far as Cam and say that it's hopeless because, look, I mean, you know, they are one of these rights holders now. It's a big company. That's obvious. So I hope they'll treat it with the respect that it deserves. But so far, it's certainly not on par with what NBC was doing.
Seriously, Chris Fowler. Chris Fowler's doing
it's
the hockey.
It's true.
Chris
it's
Fowler.
True.
It's a legit criticism.
Right, were the other guys on vacation? They didn't want to bring him back. Followers on the schedule to do something, so let's throw him out there.
Like, I thought it would be serious. Like, there would be, you know, they would treat this like a serious event.
Oh, no.
Again, they're rolling out Marshawn Lynch and others.
No,
and
no.
It was real corny.
You didn't enjoy Marshawn Lynch?
Yes.
Announcing the poor European player?
That yeah.
Give me that one again.
Yeah. What's wrong, big dog?
Go ahead, Jimmy. Let's hear that one.
Marshawn, again. Take it away.
I see. So, with the this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
You know what I'm talking about? All right, you know what? You know
Cali
what?
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow.
Enough.
I mean, why not have Bettman throw a salmon, too, at Pike Place Market? You know what I mean? Like, it was real cheesy.
They actually did that for one pick where they threw a fish from the fish market to Kevin Weeks and somebody else.
Oh, come on. Really?
Except with Kevin Weeks, it went five hole.
But it's like, I'm telling you, I didn't see the thing, so it's really not fair. But I don't even like the clips. I don't even like the clips that I've heard.
Did they do one from the very first Starbucks, too? That fish thing I was doing is like a gag. That really happened?
No, it really happened. They went to a fish mark, and the guy who was there was like, yeah, you can't afford this fish for the Kraken.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
They threw the pick that was put in a fish's mouth to Kevin Weeks, and they announced it.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm with Cam. It's hopeless.
Yeah, no. The Kraken,
it is hopeless.
The Kraken would have thrown it back because it cost too much.
Okay. We continue. We'll take your calls on the Red Sox and the expansion draft last night and the Bruins losing Lozon, apparently about to re-sign Taylor Hall. David Krejci feels like a flight risk to me, and Tuukka Rask hasn't even had surgery yet. So, please, can we quit Tuukka Rask already? And Maz hates Bobby Dahlbeck. Maz has buried Bobby Dahlbeck like he buried Sony Michel, ultimately right, I think.
Yep, I was right.
Okay. Like we once buried Brad Marchand. Wrong. Like we've buried so many others.
Julian Edelman.
Oh, yeah. I thought of him
okay.
too. Right
yeah, yeah, that was wrong. Okay,
Brian
so.
Klein show.
Yeah, I think we've been more wrong than right when it comes to burying these kids. But be that as it well, it's like we only remember the misses because they're so much more fun for you out there. And so, like, it gets put in our face. No one remembers when you're right, Maz. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know that.
That's
no
happened one on the show.
No one remembers it. It's definitely happened, but you bury the tapes, Stu. You purposely don't get, you know, Maz's Sony Michelle thing, or, you know, things we get wrong, they're right at the ready. But somehow when we get it right, it's like, no.
Oh, yeah, no. They give them the Goodell Spygate treatment.
Can't find that thing. They're
remember what I'm right about. That's the important stuff.
Stomping on the tape in the back hall. So that's Tyrone a hockey.
Brady.
Maz hates Bobby Dalbec. How do you feel about that? Thinks he sucks and blows. But I want to follow up on some of the NBA stuff as well from yesterday. There was one driving commentary as I read through all the emails that I got, which were a ton yesterday because the phones weren't up, about Celtics fans and how they feel about Jason Tatum after watching Giannis. I want to get to that and some more analysis on the ratings, why they were so bad. We'll do that in 90 seconds. First, Murray with the latest on the Bruins from last night and today, and then we're right back. Again, no spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.